Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
So let me get to Easter Sunday and the reason that we are here at all. Easter is a spring day. Well, somewhere it's spring. I've been seeing pictures of BC, and it seems like spring there. If you are in Cochrane, you know, when you woke up this morning, it didn't look all that springish. But Easter is a day when Christians around the globe celebrate hope and love and goodness, and probably more than anything else, new life. It is an incredibly optimistic day. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, why? Why be optimistic and hopeful and happy and all of that? When you look at the world, it is clearly not all sunshine and roses. This morning when I looked at the news, the fact that I saw a picture of a chocolate Easter bunny factory making Easter bunnies with masks on their mouths was an indication that all is not well. Now, of course, we do have a lot to be thankful for, but certainly there is a measure of uncertainty this Easter about our families, our health, and as Albertans, how our jobs and dreams are going to turn out in the coming months. And perhaps the poetry of an ancient writer who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, I think what he says might accurately reflect some of our less optimistic feelings today. He said, "No one knows when their hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." If that's true, why be hopeful and happy and optimistic just because it's Easter? Surely it can't be, well, you just, you know, you can choose to be sad or you can choose to be happy. And so today we just might as well choose to be happy. We've got to do better than Dick Van Dyke, who's saying that the gray skies are going to clear up and that we should brush off the clouds and cheer up and, of course, put on a happy face. Is that all that Easter is? A sunny day to just put on a happy face. A whole bunch of years ago, in a small town called Bethany, there lived a woman named Martha. And it hadn't been a very great spring for Martha and her sister Mary because their brother Lazarus had taken extremely ill. So ill, in fact, that he eventually passed away. That was bad enough. But what made it even worse for Martha was that her good friend Jesus, someone who was known all over the country to be a great healer, well, he hadn't made it to Bethany quick enough to save Lazarus from his sickness. And so when Jesus finally made it to town, Martha was looking for answers. "Look, Jesus," she said when he finally arrived, "if you had gotten here in time, none of this would have ever happened. We've been caught in evil times, Jesus, and it all seems so meaningless. Where were you?" If you read the story in the book of John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus does not tell Martha to buck up or to put on a happy face. Listen to what he did say. This is John chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha initially does not find Jesus' words all that comforting. "Yes, I know, Lazarus will rise again at the end of time on Resurrection Day someday way off in the future. I've heard this before. No, Jesus responds, actually, you're not getting it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I am that future day, Jesus says. Today, Resurrection Day is here. I am it, Jesus says. I am life in person. And because I hold the power of life and death in my hands, a person like Lazarus, a person who dies believing in me, who has placed their faith in me, who throws in their lot with me and says, I'm with Jesus, a person like that will live even though they die. And people like you, Martha, who live believing in me, you will ultimately not die at all. In me, Jesus says, there is life after death, but you also get life before death, life and hope and optimism in spite of death. You face disappointment and pandemics and evil times with style. You'll have confidence that death will never get the last word on you, only the second to last word. And that's why Easter is such a hopeful, optimistic time for people who know Jesus. We believe we're tied in with life incarnate, with someone who has the capacity to beat death at its own game. He beat death that day in Bethany by raising Lazarus to life. And he did it even better on Easter Sunday when he came out of his own tomb. And if Jesus can do that, then undoubtedly he can bring hope out of broken dreams. He can bring forgiveness out of betrayal. He can bring health out of sickness, joy out of depression, and best of all, he promises that he can bring life out of our own death. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. Do you get it? Do you understand what I am saying to you? Martha's response is incredibly encouraging for people like us who maybe are not all that philosophical or theological. She does not say, yes, I believe this, Jesus. She doesn't say, oh yeah, I get everything you're saying to me. I've pieced together the philosophy of all your teachings. I've carefully considered the theological implications on my own religious beliefs. And I totally get the science of how you're going to bring my brother back to life. She doesn't say any of that. What she does say is, yes, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you are who you say you are and that you can do for my brother and me as you say I can do. You are the one who saves. And because I love you, I believe what you say as well. As someone has put it, who can believe something they hardly understand? Believing Jesus, on the other hand, is something else. And Martha can do that. I can't help but wonder if Jesus is asking that very same question to some of you watching this today. What do you think about me? Where do you and I stand right now? I just want to say, on behalf of hundreds of people who make up the Cochrane Alliance Church family, that giving Jesus your honest answer to his question is a gut check of critical importance. It's more important even than deciding how you're going to invest your life professionally, or who will be your partner in that long-term relationship, or how you're going to spend your time for the next 30 years. It's important because of the stakes at play here. What's at stake is your life. Your life in this little part of human history, but also your life in the one to come. If we are to take Jesus seriously here, then shrugging your shoulders when it comes to where you stand with him leaves you experiencing less life than you should be right now, and no life in the one that is to come. And I need to be clear, as a church, we want to offer all we can to people who God puts within our reach. We want to offer friendship. We want to offer you support, whether it be relational, prayer support, helping you raise your family, standing beside you in difficult times. We want to mobilize many people to do good works and collaborate with as many social agencies and global partners as we can. We want to help people grow spiritually and thrive in every possible dimension of their life. But ultimately, the best thing we can provide you with is not a Bible study or a great church service or even a connection with some really good people. The best thing we offer as a church is an introduction to someone who has risen from the dead and who promises to bring that same kind of resurrection life to you. More than anything else, we are here to connect you to Jesus. And if you've never really asked yourself or told Jesus where you stand with him, well, why not today? Easter Sunday, 2020. Maybe you need some time to think that through on your own. But most of you are probably connected with a couple people who think like Martha. People who really believe that Jesus is more than a good teacher who keeps on inspiring people 2,000 years after his death. Why not have a genuine conversation with one of those people who you trust on where you stand with Jesus? And if you don't have someone you trust, then consider reaching out to us as a pastoral team. We'd love to help you navigate Jesus' question. No pressure, no expectations. In just a couple minutes, you're going to hear the stories of three people in our church family who have thrown in their lot with Jesus. And they will tell you that they believe in him. The original plan that we made back in January was to have some baptisms today. And while it may be that we're going to have to figure out what virtual baptisms look like before this COVID thing goes away, we weren't quite ready to do virtual baptisms today. So instead, you will get a preview of what I trust you and I will hear when they stand in some water someday soon. Jason, Matt, and Sam will tell you that they are trusting Jesus to bring them through the mountains and valleys of life, even though they don't know how hard or easy that is going to be. They probably can't articulate every detail of Christian theology, but they will tell you that they believe that Jesus has died for their sin and has risen again to bring them eternal life. And to be honest, that's all that Jesus asked them to do. And like many of you watching today, these three know something about the challenges of human life. And yet today, they have Easter hope in spite of it all. They're not just putting on a happy face. They are experiencing directly Jesus' resurrection power. He is bringing them new life. And in faith, they are trusting him to bring life after death as well. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Do you believe this? Although she didn't understand everything, on that day in Bethany, Martha said she did believe him. Do you believe this? At some time this past year, the three people you're about to hear were asked that same question by Jesus, and they said they believe too. Do you believe this? That is the question that the living Jesus asked each and every one of us again this morning. And the response, of course, he leaves to you. I'm going to let Jason and Matt and Sam share their stories.
Hi, my name is Tu Tong and my Canadian name is Jason. I was born in Beijing, China, and at the age of 12, my family and I moved to Wuhan. I'm the only child in the family, so my parents really pay attention to my studies. I love math and physics, but I'm not talented in English language studies. Finally, after a long discussion, my family decided to send me to Canada to learn English. I've been in Canada for 3 years already. My first year was in Calgary, so it's my second year in Cochrane. As a Chinese boy, I seldom heard anything about Christianity and Jesus at an early age. I only remember that once my parents told me the stories of Jesus and the cross, so I was very curious about Christianity at that time. And then I came to Canada and met Marina. It was the first time she took me to church to sing Christian songs and listen to pastors sharing everything about Christianity. This attracted and influenced me deeply. And slowly, I began to say some prayers before meals, or sometimes even when I was in trouble or before the exams, I would pray silently. Then I attended the Alpha class. I started to realize why people would believe in Jesus. It is because of the love that Jesus brings to us, and no matter what happens, he'll always be with you. During the Holy Spirit weekend, I had a deeper understanding about the seven gifts that Jesus gave us. For example, the fortitude. It means not only courage, but also endurance. We should stand up for justice, even if we might have to face some rejections or physical and verbal abuse. Baptism is of great significance. After baptism, it means that I've completely become a Christian. I love Jesus Christ, and I believe that he can illuminate everything in the future for me like a lamp in the dark.
Good morning, Cochrane Alliance Church. My name is Matt Kuperis, and this is my wife, Sam Kuperis. And we have a daughter by the name of Charlotte, who is 7 years old, and a son, who is Dylan, who is 5 years old. We're here to give our Easter testimony. I would say our story begins with our daughter, Charlotte. She attended Backyards Kids Camp the summer before last, when she was 5 and a half. Each afternoon when she would come home, she'd be beaming and really excited, super happy to tell us what she had learned the day.
On the third day, on the Wednesday, I remember her coming home and she was so excited. She says, "Mom and Dad, I've taken the Lord."
I remember that time very well. I think I was doing dishes at the time and I nearly dropped the plates that were in my hand. I felt super surprised with how much she's taking it in. And we even joked about it a little bit.
On the last day of camp, Kellyanne, who is her leader, sent her home with a Jesus storybook Bible. And she cherished it. And at her insistence, we read it throughout the summer together. And not coming from religious homes, that was a new experience for us. But the ball was rolling in Charlotte's heart. And as the months passed, she really wanted to know what church was.
So the very first church service that we came to was the kids' Christmas concert. And I remember feeling very welcome when we came. We were slightly intimidated, but everyone was very kind, and we found it to be very insightful for us.
So we decided we would try going for a month, and we would try 4 weeks, and felt like a big commitment to give up 4 Sundays. But we were blown away by how much we love coming here and learning about the ways that God works in our lives and the way sermons made us stop focusing on just ourselves and look at other people and look at the world in a new way. So each week seemed more and more impactful for us, and it became a favorite part of our weekend. So we just never stopped coming.
It was really neat looking back on how God used our 6-year-old daughter to speak to our hearts and to bring us to church and ultimately to Jesus.
So God cracked open the hard shell around my heart back in October last year, and it was a few stages in that. And I remember one of the first ones was the day before my birthday. Jason was doing a service about blessed are the persecuted. And I was just like crying the entire service. And I remember going up to talk to Randall afterwards and like still crying, and he prayed over us. And a couple weeks later was another big day when I did Life on the Balcony. It just like changed my heart. My new heart felt vulnerable and soft and exposed, which was new and scary to me. But like finally understanding that I was worthy of God's love and His grace, just as I am, was really life-changing for me. I remember trying to explain the experience to our son Dylan, who had just turned 5 at the time, and we were riding down by the ranch, and I was crying when I was riding my bike, and he was all concerned, and so I was telling him about what happened. And he just replied, "Well, yeah, Mom, Jesus is love."
Since we've been a part of the Cochrane Alliance family, I've been transformed both mentally and spiritually. Being a part of the Wingmen has been an eye-opening experience for me. It's made me step out of my shell and open up. All of the men that are a part of the group are, they are very understanding and super supportive. The wisdom and the knowledge within the group has had a positive effect on my life, and it's been a major blessing as well. I've become a better husband, father, friend, and son.
That's
because
true.
Of it. Another significant part of my life that Jesus had shown light into is with one of my friends who is diagnosed with cancer that was inoperable. He was completely reliant on a medication to stop the growth of his tumor. I remember praying with Sam and some of the men from the Wingmen for his medication to have a positive effect. At his next scan, his tumor not only stopped growing, but it shrank and continues to this day to not have any growth.
This winter, I felt worried about being like a brand new Christian, about what would happen when our prayers weren't answered the way we expected, and when stuff got hard. And it did get hard. In the past few months, our family's been challenged as my brother and sister-in-law were expecting identical twin girls. They were pregnant and they had a really complex pregnancy. And they eventually lost one of the twins. I was so sure that it would like shake my faith, but the complete opposite was true. Jesus was my rock and made the anxiety and grief so much easier, knowing that God has a plan for us and that as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't have anything to fear.
It makes me feel at peace in both my heart and my mind to know that Jesus' love is never ending and always pursuing you. To know that you are loved no matter what. Knowing that God has a plan for us, and when one door closes, another one is opened. That I have been forgiven for my sins with Jesus dying on the cross.
Knowing Jesus on a personal level and knowing that He died on the cross for me, and that He loves me in all my imperfections, makes this Easter season feel really different than ever before.
With both Charlotte and Dylan, we try to teach them so much about God in our house, but I think they teach us so much as well.
Charlotte was given a prayer journal by the lovely ladies in Bonafide, and she writes in it nightly. And this is the first prayer that she wrote, and she offered to share it with you as a way to kind of close out for us, and because I find her, like all childlike faith, so inspirational.
Dear God, Please help me be like you. You are very important in my life. Please help me love like you. Will you help my family live? I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.